This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Well, as it stands now, voters in North Carolina will consider six proposed constitutional amendments in November. Yesterday, the NAACP and the environmental group Clean Air Carolina were in court challenging four of them. Joining us with the latest is Rusty Jacobs, a political reporter for WNC. Hello, Rusty.
Hey, Frank.
Tell us about the amendments that are under challenge right now.
So the advocacy groups you mentioned are challenging these four amendments. One would transfer broad appointment powers over not just the State Elections and Ethics Board, but other boards and commissions created by the legislature, transfer that appointment power from the governor's office to the legislature. Another appointment-oriented amendment would handle judicial vacancies. Governor pretty much now can fill vacancies with nominees of his choice. The amendment would give the legislature essentially the power to force the governor to pick from a list they compile. Those are those two amendments. There's also the cap, lowering the cap on the personal income tax from 10%. Now that's a cap in the Constitution to 7%. And another amendment would create a photo ID requirement for in-person North Carolina voters. The governor filed his own lawsuit on two of those amendments, the ones that address judicial vacancies and appointment powers.
All right. So talk about the grounds for these lawsuits.
So in one case, the parties, the plaintiffs, the governor and these two advocacy groups are attacking the what they call the misleading nature of the constitutional amendment language. So there is a commission, a three-person commission that under law, under North Carolina statute, has the power to create captions, short titles for each of these amendments as they would appear as referendum questions on the ballot. The legislature convened just a couple of weeks ago in an extra session and took away that authority and reclaimed the authority to write the captions. And essentially right now on the ballot, it would a short title above the question would say constitutional amendment. These groups and the governor are saying it's misleading that voters don't know enough about what they'd be voting on. These are very important, essential components in the way the state is organized and the way the state is run under the Constitution. And taking away and taking and just putting in this short language and not giving them any kind of giving voters any kind of idea of how these amendments would be put into practice, because enabling legislation would come down the road, is misleading.
So you're voting for an amendment and then later we'll write in what you just voted for, yes or no? Will this leave it to us? Trust us?
That's
what?
That's certainly the argument. No, that's certainly the argument that these parties are taking. No. In another case, essentially the advocacy groups are relying on what they call the usurper doctrine. Essentially, they're saying that this legislature, as constituted, is illegal because they were put into office under maps that have been found by the United States Supreme Court and other courts as containing districts that are illegally racially gerrymandered. And until you have a legislature in place under maps that have not been struck down by courts, this legislature can't be counted on to pass something as so fundamental as constitutional amendments, which require a 3/5 majority of each chamber and don't undergo gubernatorial vetoes, because constitutional amendments can't be vetoed by the governor. So in issues as important as this, you can't rely on a what they're calling an illegally constituted General Assembly.
All right. And what are the grounds? So you talked about the grounds now. There are four lawsuits. Oh, no. And we didn't get to voter ID and the tax cap as well. What kind of rationale are we looking at there?
Well, again, that you have an amendment. First of all, they say that there is no indication of how a photo ID law would be put into practice. Is it a license? Is it a Costco card? No. These are some of the examples that one of the plaintiff's attorneys gave. And that if that legislation that would enact these laws comes down the road, voters don't have enough information to rely on. Of course, the defendants say, look, you have a well-informed electorate, and they are going to have summaries and descriptions drafted by this commission that will be distributed to registered voters through the mail and will be available at the polls. So they say voters will have the information they need.
All right. What happens next now? The lawsuit was filed we went to court on Monday, right? What happens in court and what's the next step now for these lawsuits?
Wake County Superior Court Judge Paul Ridgway heard the arguments yesterday from the plaintiff's attorneys and decided that this is a facial challenge to the constitutionality. That's important in a number of respects. One, it means he has asked Chief Justice Martin of the state Supreme Court to appoint a 3-judge panel in Wake County Superior Court that will hear these arguments. It also means it's a very high bar. He's essentially determined that what the plaintiffs are arguing is that just in general, this collection of acts by the legislature are unconstitutional on their face. It's a very high bar, and it will require the decision-making of this 3-judge panel that has to be organized or appointed by the state Supreme Court Chief Justice. That means also that the plaintiff's attorneys did not succeed in convincing Judge Ridgeway that it's an as-applied challenge, that we're just talking about as the legislative acts apply to these particular amendments, which would be a somewhat lower bar for them to clear in making their case.
All right. And there's another interesting lawsuit that's just made it to the courts involving attorney Chris Anglin and his run for the North Carolina Supreme Court. Tell us about that one.
Chris Anglin got what the plaintiff's attorneys in yesterday's hearing did not get. The advocacy groups and the governor wanted a temporary restraining order put in place to keep the ballots from going forward and to keep the amendments from being put on the ballot. Judge Ridgeway did not issue a TRO. He has retained jurisdiction to do so, but he hasn't done that, and he's asked Chief Justice to appoint a 3-judge panel. Chris Anglin got a TRO from Wake County Superior Court Rebecca Holt, and she has now asked the parties to come back on the 13th of August to file briefs and make further arguments in his case. He was a former Democrat who, after the Republican-led legislature did away with judicial primaries for this year only, saw a loophole in which he could go ahead and change his registration. And he is now wants to run as a Republican, has registered as a Republican, and wants to challenge incumbent Justice Republican Barbara Jackson. There is also a Democratic candidate, Anita Earls, an advocacy attorney who wants to run, and so he would essentially could siphon votes away from incumbent Justice Barbara Jackson, another Republican. The legislators came back in their extra session a couple of weeks ago and wrote a law that said, or put a law into place that creates a 90-day window, that unless you have filed at least 90 days or registered at least 90 days before you file as a candidate, you cannot run with that party affiliation. So essentially, they created a law that says Chris Anglin and a few other candidates who would be affected by the law can either run without any party affiliation or withdraw from the race. He has said he and Democrats and other critics of this law say you cannot change the rules in the middle of the game. It's unconstitutional, and it is targeting me personally. So he has gotten his temporary restraining order, and there will be further arguments in that case on Monday the 13th.
All right, well, stay tuned. Rusty Jacobs, political reporter for WUNC. Thank you, Rusty.
You're welcome.